Thank you, Shirley. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How many good men are there in here today? Don't raise your hand. There's none good. There's none that seeketh after God, according to the Word of God. But the point is what is being made there. Those of us that would be considered a good person would have to be only the ones that are considered those that have gone after God's way and are seeking God. And that comes only through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I hope that you're here today and you can testify that you know for sure that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, only at the name of Jesus Christ. And that is so important to have as an understanding. I thought so many times, what can I tell people, what can I share with people that will be a benefit to them in their life in this world in which we live? And the greatest thing that always comes up is to tell them about Jesus Christ, because this life really is the only preparation that we have for that life. And whether you're ready to spend it with God in heaven or whether He says, hey, you did not receive the answer I gave to your sin problem, that is my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have rejected Him, then God says, and He has no choice but to say, the alternative is punishment in hell for all eternity. And that is the only two places that people are going to end up. And it's only one way to get there, and one way to satisfy God's justice, and that is through His Son, the Lord Jesus. I believe it was Thursday night that Brother Ron gave an illustration about salvation, and I believe it was then, and maybe another night, but he mentioned how that there was a great fire, and they were traveling out in the plains there and so forth, and they saw this fire coming toward them, and there was no way that they could outrun it to get back to where the river was. And so one man said, start a fire over here in this field. And they started a fire over there, and they said, now get all the wagons, get all the people, and stand over there where the fire is already burnt. And that way they were saved from the onslaught of that fire. And he gave the illustration how that Jesus Christ became fire that was burnt for us. He became God's punishment for you and for me, so that when we stand where the fire, the judgment, has already been given, then we are not in line for the judgment. And God is going to judge sin. He's either going to judge it in you personally by sending you to hell for all eternity, or if you receive what Jesus Christ did on the Calvary, He judged His Son in your place. Sin will be judged. It's your choice whether you allow Jesus Christ to take it for you or whether you take it yourself. That's your choice. And that's what salvation is. That's the only thing salvation is. It's believing that Jesus Christ died there for you, and by faith asking Him to pay for your sin and to take that penalty upon Himself for you, and He's gladly has done that. Now, I wanted to share a few things here today, and it's not a very popular message that I'm going to preach to you. We're not back in 1 Peter again. We'll finish up with that, Lord willing, here in the next few weeks. But right now I wanted to come off of our week of meetings here with revival and talk to you about a few things. I don't think any one of us would regret that we had revival this past week. God did a wonderful work here. I don't think any of us would regret that Ron DeGar preached in the revival. He did a wonderful job bringing the messages. He's a wonderful speaker, easy to listen to, interesting, etc. But there may be some of you that might have some regrets about revival, or at least maybe should have some regrets about revival. And I want us to look at that today, and I'll explain what I mean by that. There is a sad truth about us as human beings, the way we respond to some things, especially even as Christians. Some people don't get excited about what God is doing until they see it in other people's lives, and then they start to get a little excited. But by then, it may be a little too late. Some people are just getting excited about revival by the time to get over with there and end up. And it's over and the time has passed. And there are four things that I want us to look at this morning that some of you may regret concerning our revival meetings, or maybe should regret. And I don't want to give this in a sense of trying to say, well, here I am, I've got you, and now I'm going to punish you right here with this particular message. That's not what it's about. as I mentioned a while ago, when I said, you know, what is it that I can do to help people in this world, help Christians in this world, especially here, and that is to tell you the truth of what God's Word says. There's not a thing I'm going to tell you this morning, and the four things that we look at are not things, they're, every one of them are things that God wants us to have in our lives, and things that we had an opportunity of this past week. And if we have dropped the ball there, then there are things in which God wants us to pick back up and to make right. And so I want to encourage you with those things. And let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into this particular message here. I pray, Father, that you would help me to share it clearly. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us the indication and specific instructions as to what pleases you in this life for that we live here before you. And I pray that we would seek to be obedient into those things in which you have taught us, those things in which we know, that we may be found faithful in your eyes. Father, today, help us to be honest with ourselves. And Lord, help us to listen without distraction. May we concentrate upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've entitled the message today, Revival Regrets. And I want us to look at it. There are four things that I believe that it's possible that someone may regret concerning this past week of revivals. The first one, if you'll turn with me, please, over to John, in John chapter 20, wants to look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once he was resurrected, he appeared unto his disciples on several different occasions after his resurrection. Here in John 20 is one of them recorded. Verse 19, we'll pick up reading right there. It says, then the same day, that evening, being the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the day that the Lord Jesus Christ arose, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And then it records there how that Jesus met there with these disciples after he had risen from the dead, after in the midst of all of their confusion of what's going on and what is this about he's alive and I haven't seen him yet and what's happening here. And they all met together there on that Sunday. And while they were meeting together there, Jesus appeared unto them. He met with them there and he told them several things. But notice down in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Can you imagine how he felt when he missed it? When God appeared there to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, let me tell you something. You never know what God and when God is going to do a work special here at our church. It may be on a Sunday morning. It may be on a Sunday night. It may be in the revival services such as we've had. It may be on a Wednesday night. God wants us to be there in all of these times, but there are certain times that God has a special blessing for those that are attending there. And this was one of them right there that Thomas missed out on. May I ask you a question this morning, or are you a Thomas this morning? Did you miss some there that you had opportunity to be at when God met with us? Let me tell you, I understand that there are some of you that say, well, Pastor, it was impossible for me to be there. I worked second shift, and after Sunday morning, Sunday school, and the morning worship service, I had to work Sunday night through Friday night, each night there at my job, and could not be here. I can understand that, and I can appreciate that. Some of you may say, well, Pastor, I was out of town. I didn't get to be here for that. I can understand that as well. But I have a hard time, though, dealing with sometimes if we make a choice and say, well, you know, I know we're having a revival, or I know it's Sunday morning, but you know, the fair is going on. I really want to go over there to the fair. And I've got to work all this next week, and I'll be tired, and I'll miss it. And I just choose to go to the fair instead of church today. Now, obviously, none of you have skipped out on
go to the fair today.
But I'm using that as an example of how we may make choices. Sometimes we look at church, we look at revival services, and we make a choice, and we say, I don't think I need that. And we go the other way, or we skip it. Or maybe it's just that we just don't follow through. We intended to come, but every day there was something that came up that caused us not to, and we got caught up before long. The chances were over with. The key that I want you to see there is God wants us to be faithful in attending His church. Whether it's revival, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's any of our services there, God wants us to be there. And the question is, should we or should we not? be in God's church. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever spoken to someone on their deathbed and heard them say, "I regret going to church so much"? Have you ever heard anybody say, "I regret praying so much"? Or, "I regret studying God's Word so much"? I regret giving unto the church. Or, "I regret serving God in my life." Folks, I've been beside many people the days and hours before they have died, and I have not one time heard anybody regret those things. You know why? People don't regret doing what's right. What do we regret? Not doing what's right or doing what's wrong. I have on occasion, though, heard many times, actually, unfortunately, people make the statement that, "I wish I would have served God more," or, "I wish I would have been in church more," or, "I wish I would have done such and such." There are regrets that they didn't do that they wish they had. And my question is to you, do you have regrets today concerning your walk with the Lord? Do you have regrets today concerning the decisions you did or did not make this past week? See, we all have responsibility to be right before God in our stand. And I believe it is God's desire that we be faithful in attending His church. Matter of fact, I'll show it to you just in a moment right from His Word. No one ever regrets doing the right thing. If we trust God for our salvation, we're not going to be disappointed. If we serve the Lord with our time, we're not going to be disappointed. If we obey God, we will not be disappointed. And one of the commands that He gives us is found there in Hebrews 10:25. It says, "They're not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Some people have tried to take that verse and say, "Well, Pastor, that's not talking about church attendance." And I think,
well, what Bible are you reading?
And if you look at the context of what's going on there, you cannot come to any other conclusion, but that is what God is talking about. That's what the word church means. It's ecclesia, the assembly. And it's the word there that talks about we are to assemble ourselves together, and that's what we're doing here. And we do it on the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the New Testament procedure that we're to do and to follow. So we're here today, and you're here today, and maybe you didn't make it to all of the services. Maybe you look back last week and say, "I regret that I wasn't there," but you are here today. So what are you going to do today now? What are you going to do next Sunday? What are you going to do tonight when it's time to be in church? The choice is yours. You've got to make the choice and say, "This is what I believe God wants me to do," and then discipline yourself to follow through and do it. I've explained it before, like brushing your teeth. I don't think any one of you woke up this morning and went through the process and said, "I wonder if I ought to brush my teeth today." Now, maybe there was a time that you had to decide that that was right, but this morning, I hope you just went to the bathroom and disciplined yourself to do it. If not,
I'll talk about this.
But that wasn't a decision you had to make. The same thing ought to be true with church and our attendance. We ought not get up on Sunday morning and say, "Lord, you know, I wonder if I ought to go to church today." Maybe we shouldn't ask the Lord.
"I just wonder if I ought to go to church today."
We think. Well, we shouldn't have to even ask that question. That's a decision that we ought to make. "Lord, I know that you want me to be in God's house, your house today. And so when I get up on Sunday morning, then I just discipline myself to do it." That's what it has to be. That's where we need to be with all of God's commands. God wants us to be there. But understand this. Just being here today is not enough. You can be here today and you can be sitting there saying, "Hey, you want to go to the fair this afternoon? What restaurant do you want to eat at when we get through? Milk." What? Nobody does that, do they?
You better not.
"Oh, I can multitask, Pastor. I can be writing my friend a note.
and paying close attention to God at the same time.
Well, I hope God agrees with you, because one day you'll answer to Him for that, you see.
We need to be careful that we concentrate on what God's Word is telling us as well.
Just being here is going through the motions unless we have a heart that's in it. And that is so important for us to understand, folks. Don't just be wishing that you had been faithful. Start being faithful right now. Secondly, some might say, I regret that I did not pray more concerning the revival meetings. This is one of the things that I emphasized as we came in closer, getting closer to our revival meetings. It was so important for us to be praying for revival. Pray that God would get us here. Pray that God would get visitors in here. Pray for the evangelist. Pray that God would hold down any distractions. Pray all of these things that we could have God to meet with us and to cause our hearts to be in tune with Him. That's what we have to pray about.
Why is prayer so important? 2 Chronicles 7:14,
if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then, God says, then I can send a revival. Then I can meet with my people. Then I can heal them, etc.
Prayer is the hand that moves God. And it's important that we pray.
Not just for revival last week, but how many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you prayed this morning for this service?
I need you to. Brother Ron gave an illustration there in one of the messages about prayer, and he shared how that in Spurgeon's church, and Spurgeon was a great preacher, matter of fact, so great that many times in the services, people would be lined up on the sides of where they couldn't even get seats. They would just stand on the sides there to hear him preach.
And one couple came early to get a good seat, and he said, let me give you a tour of the church. And he took them through a tour of the church, and they were kind of watching. Then we're going to lose those good seats up there if we don't get back up there. And he said, I want to show you one other place. It's down at the boiler room right here. It's the power of our church. And I can imagine them thinking, what's in there, a generator? What is this crazy guy? He wants to show me the power of the church. And he opened up that door there,
and there was a bunch of Christians in there on their knees praying. And he said, that's the power of this church. It's not Spurgeon, he said. And that was Spurgeon talking to him.
It's not Spurgeon. It's not the people. It's not good messages. But it's the power of prayer.
Because God moves at prayer. And that is so important for us to understand, too. Folks, I need for you as Christians today to be praying for each one of our services.
I need for you to be praying for me. Not just on Sunday morning. Pray as I prepare throughout the week here in my study time, so that I'll have messages that God wants me to preach and prepared in such a way that it will be something that God would honor. That's what we need.
I want you to pray that people would be here.
I go through a process on Sunday morning. I get up here a little bit before 8, open up everything, and I sit down and I go through my message again one more time to get it fresh on my mind, and then I take the rest of the time there and I start praying. And until people start arriving, I pray, and I pray for you. And sometimes I look around about where some of the people that I know where they sit, and I visualize where you are sometimes, and I pray for you, and I pray for families, and I pray this away. Lord, there's some people right now that are getting ready to come to church. There are some people that are going through a process. Should I go today? Man, it's such a pretty day. I've got such a list of things to do. There are some people that are saying, where's that Bible? I know I put it somewhere.
There's some people saying, no, you can't wear that. Go back to your room again.
These are all things that go through my mind and more that I know that you are dealing with on a Sunday morning as you're getting ready for church. I want you to know that I'm praying for you, that God would give you, first of all, the unction to be here, that God would help you finding your Bible, finding your clothes, getting your kids ready, and getting out the door in time to be here. There are things that I want to pray for you about. I pray then, Lord, help me to handle your word responsibly.
Help me to be able to share it clearly that people can understand at whatever age or whatever mentality, ability they have to understand your truth, for we're all different. And then I pray for the Holy Spirit to put His power behind His Word and to touch our hearts. That's the kind of prayer that I need for you as well to join in on. We need to be praying. God wants us to pray. In order to reach God's goals, we need to get on our knees. We need to be praying, people. Don't just say, well, I wish I would have prayed more. Start now. Start now. It's not too late now to start praying. Pray for the service tonight. Pray that we'll have young people coming into this roundup that we didn't have before. Pray that it would be effective. Pray for our leaders that are preparing for tonight and that are going to be serving tonight. Pray for our adult Bible study. Pray, people. We need prayer in our church. And then thirdly, some may say, I wish I would have invited more. How many of us have ever thought that if I knew it was going to be that good, I would have tried to get some more people to come? Well, folks, it's too late then. It's too late then. We need to be trying hard as we can. Have you ever heard a message before and thought this? Boy, I wish so-and-so could have been here to hear that. Now, let me say two things about that. One, first, the only time you can ever truly say that, you better truly say that, is when you've already opened your heart up to the message yourself. I've had some people that have thought, boy, I wish so-and-so could have heard that message, and I'm thinking to myself, I wish you would have heard it. You see? We don't need to be thinking about somebody else before we let the message fit into our own heart needs, you see. But then there are times in which we wish so-and-so could have been here. And could have heard that. And maybe we had an opportunity to invite them, we encourage them. Remember, we've been told by Jimmy Clark, an evangelist that has come here before, and we were told by this with Ron that was here this past week. Don't give up on inviting people. Maybe you say, Pastor, you don't understand. For years I've invited them to come to church. I've invited them for every revival we've had for the last 4 or 5 years here, and they never come. They always have some excuse. Or they promise they're going to come, but they never show. And guess what? Get in line. I do too. But you never know when they might. So don't give up on inviting. Be inviting people, and not just for revival. Invite them to come to church. You know, the great commission that God has given us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, part of that too is inviting people. All we've got to do is be faithful with that. God does the work. Don't get upset. Don't be discouraged if they don't come. Just do your part, and that is to share with them. And then the last one that I want to share with you is, some may say, Pastor, I wish I would have responded more. I came, I heard, but I struggled. And there was something that I believe God was dealing with me, and I just didn't want to give up. Is that you? It's not unusual for us to struggle with things such as that. Our flesh never wants to give in. Our flesh always wants its way. Our flesh is in opposition to God's Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other. That's a battle that goes on. And when we listen to the Word of God as it is preached, sometimes the Holy Spirit is dealing with our heart about something, and there's a particular area that He has placed His hand upon, and God is saying, I want that today. I want that right now. And we've got to be willing to say, Lord, okay, I understand. I surrender that to you. But the flesh, be it known, is going to be against you. Your flesh is going to be saying, now wait a minute here, now wait a minute here. Maybe you need to think about this a little bit more. Maybe you just need to, let's just, you haven't got to do it right now, you can do it later. You'll back it off.
Well, folks, that's the devil talking as well.
Because he knows that if he can get you to say, not right now, later, he goes, hey, all right, I got him. I won. Because the next thing you're going to do as you walk out the door is get something else on your mind
so you don't think about that one.
And he's got you. Jeremiah 8:20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. You could apply that to revival and say some people came in here and listened to revival, the messages were preached, they walked out the door, and they still were not saved. They heard the message, they knew that they needed it, and yet they rejected to follow through with a decision.
Same thing can be true of us as Christians.
God was dealing with my heart. I knew what he wanted me to do. I held on to the pew. I went out the door.
And I'm still in my sin. Is that you?
My friend, you need to regret walking out without dealing with it. But if you're here today and God is still dealing with your heart, then it's not too late. But for some, it may be. In Acts chapter 17, Paul preached a message. As he got through preaching the message, there was a response to that message, threefold response. To some, it said there in verse 32, and when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. In other words, they laughed. They said, hey, yeah, resurrection of the dead, yeah, right.
I don't need that.
Some people do the same thing with messages that God gives us through revival services, through Sunday morning services such as this. They hear about salvation, they hear about forgiveness of sins, and they say, well, yeah, right, I don't need that. I don't believe that. They walk out that door. I don't think there's too many that come to church that actually have that mentality, but I believe that there's possibly some that do. But more likely, the second response applies to many that come to church that don't get right with God. And their response was the second one there. He says, we will hear thee again on this matter. In other words, not right now. Paul, that was good. I hear what you're saying. I probably need to do that, but not right now. Let me think about that a little bit more, and I'll get back with you. Again, that's what we said a while ago. The devil goes, yeah, right. I got you. Postponement. You know, if God is dealing with them about salvation and they know they need to get saved and they walk out that door without doing it, and today they die and go to eternity, they die having rejected God's offer of salvation. Well, wait a minute. I don't really reject it. But the point is, if you've not received it, you have rejected it. When the time comes that it's too late, and that's definitely at death. There is no other chance after death. But in some cases, it's before death, and when the Holy Spirit of God says, I'm not going to deal with you anymore, and He no longer burdens you in that area, my friend, at that point, it's too late. Your heart has become hardened to the point where it will not respond. And we need to understand that God is dealing with us, and while He is dealing with us, we need to respond. We need to get it right. There was some that mocked. There was some that said they'll postpone. I've often wondered, out of this group right there that heard that message and that walked out of that day, either mocking or postponing, how many of them actually later on got saved? I don't know the answer to that. But I dare say that many of them are in hell today, have been there for hundreds of years with nothing to look forward to but eternity future in the same place. There is only one answer. That's Jesus Christ. We can play with the timing, but if we're caught with it being too late, what a tragic loss on our part. Don't wait till it's too late to respond to salvation. Don't wait till it's too late to respond to get things right. Well, Pastor, if I don't get things right with God, I mean, I'm still saved, right? I believe that's true. One day you're going to stand before God and give an answer. Not necessarily for your sins, but it will be for some that may be unforgiven. You know that some of you may die with unforgiven sins? How do we as Christians have our sins forgiven? 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if I don't confess my sin, guess what? He hasn't forgiven that sin. Doesn't keep you from going to heaven, but one day you're going to stand before Him
And he's going to look at you face to face and say, why? Why? You know, you'll never stand before me and answer about your church attendance, about your prayer life, about your service to the Lord, or anything else. But you will stand before Jesus Christ by yourself, and he will speak to you about it. That day, I don't think I was tired of going to cut it. I don't think that I had a lot of honey-do lists around the house. I know the fair won't. But what will be our response? Right now, we have the opportunity to respond correctly. What will be your choice? Every head bow, please. Maybe this morning you're thinking, I didn't come, or I didn't come enough. Well, as I said a while ago, you are here today, so what's going to be your opportunity right now? Every one of us can make a renewed commitment. Remember, I don't think it's so much making a decision, Pastor, should I go to church or should I not go to church? I think every Christian would understand it is true that God wants us in his church. The choice then comes, am I going to make a commitment to being here in God's church or not? Will I get up every Sunday morning and say, Lord, help me to do what I know I'm supposed to today? And not say, Lord, should I go to church? I want to make that commitment. How will you respond? Will you trust Christ as Savior if you've never done it before? Will you turn from your sin and confess it if there's still sin in your life right now as a Christian that you need to get rid of? Will you commit to coming faithfully? Will you commit to serving God in whatever capacity that He desires? Or will you postpone that decision? Or will you reject God's prompting? These are the choices that we have today. We may all look back at our life and have regrets about past choices that we made or didn't. But what about right now? A simple message, but one that demands a response. Father, help us to honestly evaluate where we are before you. Lord, prompt our hearts right now for an area that you may be desiring of us. Lord, help us to love you enough to surrender. We thank you, Father, for dying through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for paying for that sin. Lord, I pray for anyone here that has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, never made that decision, that you would help them to understand that apart from that conscious choice to receive Christ as their payment of sin, they are still lost. Lord, help us to love one another in such a way that we can share Christ. Help us to love you enough to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.